Hi there, welcome to my teaching series. If you're new to my ministry, my name is Graham Jones. I am an Anglo-American, a Brit who's now an American. Live here in the United States, but minister in different nations around the world. I'm a pastor and an evangelist, a lover of Jesus. And I love seeing people grow in the message of faith, the message of the fullness of the Spirit, and grow up into Him in all things in Christ Jesus. Hey, today I want to begin a new series where I actually talk about how to never get cancer, how to never lose your hearing as you get older, how to have faith for the future, how to have preventative faith. Really interesting subject. I'm going to do a couple of housekeeping things and we'll jump into that in a moment. Okay, firstly, let me say that if you're on my YouTube channel, please consider hitting the subscribe button somewhere down there. I want to say thanks to all of the partners, friends and partners of Graham Jones Ministries as well, who allow us to do all of our missions work and traveling and fund that and prayer covering with that. You guys rock. I have the greatest Holy Ghost bunch of intercessors, supporters, givers, cheerleaders, welcomers. I have homes, you know, that people open to me all over the world. People I can call and they'll say, hey, we're praying. We're on it, Graham. And if you feel called to be part of that group, I think we should all have a commitment to a local expression of a church, but we should all partner with people as well that we're in actual relationship with, who are out there in the mission field. So if you're interested in becoming a partner, there'll be a link below where you can do that. Good. What else is going to say as well? I actually have a ministry, online ministry school as well, with some new courses. I have a new course on how to develop, you know, teaching and preaching, especially without notes. So if you're interested in developing your teaching and preaching ministry, I believe it's a 6-part course online that actually at the moment is 50% off. So again, there'll be a link below that will help you with that. Blessings. Good. So I want to read a passage today in Mark chapter 9, and I want to just begin to explore with you briefly a concept that I believe will really help you. You know, I think in life, again, it's functioning as a pastor and as somebody who's traveled in ministry for many years, and every day I'm praying with people, interacting with people, I've noticed that there are, I call it two kinds of faith, two ways in which faith operates. And it's fun in Mark 9 there, but I think in some ways what usually happens to most people love God and exist at a certain level of Christianity, and then as we go through life, things happen. Sometimes sickness and disease hits us. Sometimes, you know, a recession comes, hello. You know, problems can come in families, different things like that. And I think what most people do is they only really try to engage the faith when disaster hits, when they get a report, cancer, when, you know, a child has an accident, goes away from God, you know, all of these kind of things. Again, I'm not picking on anybody, trying to méprise, trying to criticize anybody in any way. I'm simply saying that I believe there's a truth there, that we can sort of wander along happily in our life and then disaster hits. And usually when disaster hits, we then try to engage our faith. Suddenly, we're trying to build faith to create and cause breakthrough in that area of our life. And frankly, here's the real crux of what I'd like you to catch today. That's the worst time in the world to build your faith. You know, if you're wandering along merrily and suddenly your body's racked with pain or debilitating thing, suddenly you get a bad report, suddenly fear hits you, and then in the midst of all those things, you're trying to connect with God and trying to grow your faith in that area. Now, again, I want to be clear, it's possible to do that. But it's actually really hard to do that. And what I want you to catch today is I don't believe that that's God's best. I don't believe that's God's primary plan and purpose for us. In a sense, it would be like waiting until your house begins to burn. You come home one night and your house is burning and you suddenly grab your phone and you dial the insurance company. I need fire insurance. And they're like, what type of policy? And there's a great movie I love, my kids love, a movie, Paddington Bear. And I think the, if I'm remembering this well, if I'm misquoting it, Elizabeth will tell me, but if I'm misquoting this, I get it wrong, but Paddington, this little bear from Peru, comes and he floods the whole house. And while the house is flooding, this water deluging, the owner of the house is calling, saying, I need, you know, calamity insurance or whatever. But in a spiritual level, I think that's what many people do. Yeah. In Mark 9, so much in that passage, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John onto the Mount of Transfiguration, and there he reveals himself. You know, the Bible, sometimes people say Jesus was glorified on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus was glorified from before the foundation of the world. Jesus has always been glorified. In a way, Jesus' glory was veiled in human flesh. And on the Mount of Transfiguration, it's like God pulled back the curtain for a few moments and showed the world what was really going on, who he really was all the time. It's like Jesus, it's like Clark Kent pulled open his shirt and showed the Superman, if you will. So, meanwhile, in the valley, Jesus is on the Mount of Transfiguration. In the valley, there's the other 9 disciples. I want you to catch this. They've been with Jesus about a year and a half, 2 years at this stage. They've been on mission twice. They've healed the sick, they've cast out demons, they've done amazing things. But they're on their own. Jesus is absent, yeah, if you will. And a man brings a boy with a demon, demonized boy. It sounds one. The gospel says he was epileptic, which sometimes can be natural, I think, sometimes can be demonic. But they bring an epileptic boy to Jesus, and but Jesus isn't there. The 9 disciples aren't. The 9 disciples try, inverted commas, try to set this boy free from the demonic oppression, and yet it doesn't work. And the demons like throwing the guy to the floor and the little boy to the floor and foaming at the mouth and shaking like an octopus on crack. And, in the midst of this, they really don't know what to do. And then Jesus comes back with Peter, James, and John and says, "What's up? What's happening?" And the father of the son comes to Jesus and says, "Here's the case. My boy's in this condition. I brought him to your disciples, and your disciples could not set him free." And now, here's what I want you to catch. Jesus rebukes the disciples, not the father, the disciples, for their unbelief. Yeah, there's a cultural meme that's gone around in the church now for 30, 40 years that we should never critique anybody's faith. That if somebody comes and isn't healed, we should never in any way suggest there might be something slightly lacking in their faith. Now, I think that comes from a good emotional, pastoral response in a way. I never want to, like, you don't have enough faith, whatever. But it's okay to actually say to somebody, hey, your faith isn't where it should be. I really want you to catch that, guys. It's not wrong to look at others and frankly look at ourselves much more and say, no blame, no shame, no condemnation, but your faith is not actually where it should be. Because what we do is we want to be so gracious with, frankly, ourselves and others, and never in any way suggest there's anything lacking in anybody's faith. And then what we begin to do is we begin to blame God. I mean, I love you, but if I have to blame God or blame you, I'm going to choose you. If I have to blame you or blame me, I'm going to blame me. So, but again, blame is not a useful concept here, but Jesus rebukes the disciples and says, why couldn't you do this? Yeah, where was your faith? And then Jesus cast the demon out of the boy. Here's what I want you to catch. The disciples come to Jesus and they say, why couldn't we do this? And again, Jesus says, because of your unbelief. And then he says an interesting thing. He said, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Now, for years, people have read that passage, I think, to mean this kind of demon. As if like there's little demons or really big demons and this is a really big one, and to get rid of the big ones you need to fast and pray. I believe what Jesus was saying is this kind of unbelief comes out by prayer and fasting. But again, what I want you to catch here is that Jesus didn't say, ooh, we need to, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. He didn't say to the Father, sir, wait here while I go and fast and pray for a few days, and then I'll come back and set him free. Jesus was pre-fasted. Jesus had already fasted. Jesus had already prepared his heart. Jesus had already, he was already in that place. He'd fasted, not because there was a need. He'd fasted because he wanted to be in that place in God where unbelief had no reign over him. And my point to you is what most of us do when we get an evil report, so to speak, is absolutely, we run off and we want to fast and pray. We want to seek God. And I want to encourage you, begin to seek God now. Let me close with this today, but here's my encouragement to you. Today is the day to believe God that you'll never get cancer. Today is the day to believe God for his keeping power, that you'll walk with him all the days of your life. Today is the day to believe God for no sickness, no disease. Today is the day to believe God that you'll be debt-free the rest of your life. Today is the day to believe God that you'll never commit adultery. You'll never walk away from God. That your path is like the shining light that gets brighter and brighter until the perfect day. Today is the day to believe God that you're the head and not the tail, above only. Begin to sow into your future. Now again, in tomorrow's video, we're going to do about 4 videos on this subject. I'm going to talk about believing God for specific things that you know about and specific things that God only knows about in the future. God knows what you need to start developing your faith now for in 5 years' time. You know, it's interesting. I'll end with this. This is my second closing. But I'm here in Fort Worth, Texas at the Believers Convention at the moment. About 5 years ago, I came here. And the church I'm leading in, Sturbridge, Mass. Great church. We have a great property there, about a $3 or $4 million property. Our building, my church, had been in debt since Noah built the ark. Okay, I'm not criticizing anybody. You know, like many churches, I think back in the late 70s, early 80s, they bought a property, built a church. The church had always had a mortgage, always had debt. And it's interesting, when I took over the leadership of the church in 2013, one of my conditions was, I don't do debt. I've never had debt in my own life. That's not true. I have had debt, but I've got out of debt, and I'm never going to do debt again. And I said to the leadership there, I want to get this church out of debt, and you know, I'm not interested in that. And everybody agreed. And yet, you know, we plodded on and we paid the thing off. You know, we were paying our bills, no problem in that way. But about 5 years ago, the Lord really challenged me and said, the day will come when this church needs to be debt-free. Start now. And every single week, I would stand in front of my home church in Sturbridge Worship Center and declare by faith, this church is debt-free. The church wasn't debt-free. I would look at the bank account. I would look at the letters from the bank, whatever. Again, I would just be saying, by faith, God says this church is debt-free. God says this church is debt-free. It's interesting. In 2019, we paid off the last penny, and that church was debt-free. When COVID hit in 2020, and in Massachusetts, they began making it legal to gather and do things like that. When, you know, as in many parts of the world, a lot of fear, people started staying away from churches. I saw churches closing all over New England, where I live anyway, and people getting into financial difficulty. And it's like we were able to build an ark before the rain came. And God has areas, God has arcs for you to build that he wants to speak to you about, like Noah, when the skies are blue, when there's no raindrops there, because he knows what's going to happen. And it's so vital that we get this truth. Selah. Hey, I'll be back tomorrow. Again, do check out all of the links below. Sign up for our email newsletter. Hit that subscribe button. And lastly, please take this video and share it on social media. There'll be a share button if you are on YouTube, and that would really help to get the word of God in front of people's eyeballs. Thanks for watching, guys. Bye for now.